Good job, ladies.
Amen.
Good job.
Amen.
Take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, of course, is a songbook of the Bible. It contains songs that were written by various and sundry people, and many of them, if not a majority of them, were written by David, who became the king of Israel. And a psalm, again, is a song. And so I want you to turn to Psalm 100. The title of it, if you have one printed in your Bible, it says it's a psalm of praise. Praise is simply an expression of thanks. I wonder this morning if anybody here has something to be thankful for. Would they say amen?
Amen.
I think we all do, don't we? Yes. It's not always easy being thankful, though. There were two men that were taking a shortcut to church one day, decided it was a pretty day, and they were going to walk. So they went across the field, Johnny. And all of a sudden they heard something, looked behind them, and there was this huge bull chasing them. And one called to the other out and said, "We better pray." The other one said, "You better pray. I don't know what to pray now." He said, "Well, I only know one prayer." He said, "Well, you better pray it, because it's right behind us." He said, "Oh, Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Yeah, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? No doubt in a crowd like this, there's somebody in here that's either going through a rough time, just coming out of a rough time, or getting ready to go into a rough time. That was real cheerful, wasn't it? But it's true. It's true. Many of us have our church faces on, but inside there are things that trouble us, if not outright upset us. Things going on, perhaps in our homes, our families, our work, our community, around our neighborhoods, but things that have got us tore up. But I want you to notice something. That in the middle of the worst day, there's still something to be thankful for.
Amen.
To have a reminder of that, I like to start, when I pray that way for prayer of thanksgiving, I say, "God, I want to thank you that I can still see. I want to thank you that I can still smell, I can speak, I can breathe, and Lord, I thank you I can touch, and I can walk, and things that you don't think about." Listen, there are rehab centers and nursing homes full of folks that wished they could walk, that wish they could even swallow and eat food. We are blessed.
Amen.
We are truly blessed. You know, and there are days when it may be hard to find anything to be thankful for. In Scotland, Pastor Alexander White was known for always finding something positive to thank God for in his prayers. And one stormy Sunday morning, a grumpy church member, now we don't have any of those here, by the way.
Amen.
We don't. We really don't. Everybody's as sweet as I am. No. Okay, well, never mind. Yeah, that got real quiet, didn't it? I'm a nice guy. Most days. Yeah. So this grumpy church member leaned over to another and said, "I bet he has a tough time finding something to be thankful for today, as nasty as it is outside." And just before he preached, the pastor prayed, "We thank thee, O God, that it is not always like this." Think about it. The Bible sets forth some simple truths about being thankful. I want you to look with me, first of all, at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We're going to read it through together. We're going to look at it together. Then afterwards, I'm going to put you to work a little bit, just a little bit. So, read along with me as I read out loud. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Amen. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you, and I thank you for the privilege of being here this morning, what we've heard and experienced already. Lord, it's exciting when we see the church come together and do something for others, Lord, and we're grateful for that. Lord, we're grateful that this coming Thanksgiving Day, Father, that as a church, there'll be folks down there serving meals to folks in our community that otherwise wouldn't have a Thanksgiving. We're grateful for that, for the shoeboxes, for your gifts to us, for your kindness, your mercies. Now, God, help us to learn to be more thankful than we've ever been. And God, we ask this in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Father, to help me to not be a pointless, powerless preacher, but use this to be a blessing. And we ask this again in the name of your Son. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to do this. We'll read together the odd verses, and then, we'll read together the even verses, and then I'll say the odd verses alone. Okay? You got that? No, I said that backwards. Let's try this again. I'm less dexed. We'll say the odd ones together, and then I'll say the even ones. Now that I've totally confused you, let's try. All right, together we'll say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Then I'll say, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Let's say together, know ye the Lord that he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Together, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. I want to say, first of all, that being unthankful is unholy. There are several things the Bible speaks about end time events. And the Apostle Paul listed the social trends and conditions that would be present in those last days. And he said this, that men would be unthankful and unholy. It's interesting that the two are put together in the Scripture. God wants his people to be holy, but in order to be holy, we've got to be thankful. But sometimes it's not that way. I was preaching somewhere, and there was a fella, I don't care what was preached on, what was sung, or what was said, he looked like somebody had baptized him in vinegar. You ever seen him, Johnny? I mean, you can't. If you want an amen out of him, you got to roll your own, because he's not going to do it. And I remember he did. He looked like he'd been weaned off a dill pickle. And the whole time. And it was funny because we were singing about the joy, joy, joy down in our... I watched him the whole time and I got tickled, because if he had joy, I didn't want to catch it, because it looked like you need an inoculation against it. He was singing like this.
I got joy, joy, joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
He was acting more like that heartburn. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't want any part of that. But I'll be honest with you, there have been times in my life when I'll just be plain with you. I have not been thankful like I should. How about you?
Amen.
I mean, something went wrong. 10 things could be going right that day, but one thing went wrong, and where do we focus? Our whole focus turns on that one thing. We forget all the blessings of the Lord, and we can whine and cry better than an 8th grade kid. We complain, and we'll holler at God like kids do sometimes. I learned as a Christian school administrator, one of their favorite words from, say, the 2nd grade through about the 8th grade, some 9th graders, was, that's unfair. Unfair. Everything's unfair. Let me tell you, I would always try to encourage them. I was their principal, and I was the school administrator, so I'd encourage them. And here's what I'd say to encourage those sweet little darlings when they'd say it's unfair. I'd look them in the eye with a smile, and I'd say, life's unfair, then you die. It is. Life's not fair. As a matter of fact, when you came out, the world did not stand back in awe, because you were really bad to the bone, because you weren't. Nothing happened when you were born. As a matter of fact, it may shock you, but they did not close Walmart. Even when it was just a little 5 and dime in Arkansas. Because the truth of the matter is, your relationship with God is more important than any other relationship. And a lot of times, we are just not thankful or grateful. Say amen.
Amen.
And it's unholy for us to be unthankful. As a matter of fact, the Scripture teaches that. It says that. We are told, as we look in Scriptures in the book of Romans, it says, because that when they knew not God, they glorified him. Neither did they glorify him as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. What the writer is doing, he says, the lack of thanksgiving ties to the darkness of our hearts. that if your heart is not where it ought to be, it comes out of your mouth. And thanksgiving is not part of it. We have a tendency to focus on the negative. And let me say this, if that's your tendency, be careful. Jesus said that which comes out of our mouths comes forth from the heart. And it's a reflection of where our hearts are. Now, I'm sure no one in this room ever says something they shouldn't say, besides me. And what I do, I try to make it a practice. When I say something I shouldn't say, or use a word I shouldn't use, and it's not a habit with me, but I will be honest with you, occasionally I have slipped. Anybody else slip besides your preacher? Okay, I'll try not to this morning. True story. Young preacher was trying out for a church, and he got up to preach, and he was preaching on the devil. And he said, "I hate the devil." And he took off. Man, he was stomping. He was snorting. He was saying everything he could think about for the devil. And as a matter of fact, before he thought about it, he started calling the devil dirty names. And now he caught himself and realized what he had done. And he was trying out for this church. And he was crushed. He left. The next day, the deacons called him and said, "We want you to be our preacher. Anybody that cussed the devil that good needs a preacher." But what I've gotten a habit of doing when those things happen, if I say something, whether it's a lack of thanksgiving or it's a remark I make that I shouldn't make or it's a word that I shouldn't use, here's what I do. Immediately, I go to God and I say, "God, there's something not right in here, and I want you to forgive me." Because Jesus said what comes out of our mouth is a reflection of our heart's condition. Sure. So if all you're doing is griping, groaning, and complaining, you've got an unthankful heart. Now, try reversing that. When things go south, say, "Praise the Lord." Now, again, I'm suspicious of people when they stub their toe at 2 in the morning and you hear them at the other end of the house and they're going, "Thank you, Jesus." Now, I'm not talking about that. Now, you ever met somebody who calls themselves a Christian looks like they've been sleeping with a coat hanger in their mouth? What happens? Just cut the leg off. Now, I'm not talking about being fake, but I'm going to tell you something. There's something to praising God when it's bad.
That's right.
Because in the middle of it, you may not realize it, but somebody's watching your life. Oh, yeah, you can go ahead and throw a fit. You pull up to that drive-in and tell them that drive-in window, and you tell that clerk off because they messed up your order. Boy, you can give it to them good. And you drive off and they say, "Praise Jesus" on your bumper sticker. That's impressive. I had one guy, he not only cut me off, he flipped me off. And I mean, he, you talk about road rage, this guy had it. And he come weaving in around, I could see him behind me. And he got to me and he did the same thing. He flips me off and on the back of it, it says, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Now, if you think I wasn't impressed, what do you think God thinks when we throw those little fits? It is, listen, it is unholy to be unthankful. Let that sink in. It is unholy to be unthankful. I want you to repeat it after me. It is unholy to be unthankful. Now, let that sink in because it is. God wants His people to be thankful. Have you ever done something for somebody and not only did they not acknowledge it, they threw it back in your face? You know that God has that happen to Him every single day? Every breath you draw, every heartbeat you have is a gift from God. You have something to be thankful for. If you are sitting in a puddle on a rainy day with no place to go, no food in your stomach, you still have something to be thankful for. God help us to become more thankful as His children. Being unthankful takes glory from God that He's due. Being unthankful leads to spiritual ruin. Being unthankful marks society in the last days. It's interesting that it was, this is a true story. This guy named Dane was brought up on charges of disturbing the peace because he went to a church and here's what he did. He would shout, "Praise the Lord" and "Amen" during services and wouldn't shut up. And they called the cops and had him hauled off. I'm not making that. You can't make that up. Someone was telling me they visited a church and they sat down and one of the regular folks came in and looked at him. And I heard this, as a matter of fact, I heard it today. Said, looked down at him and said, "You're in my seat." He thought he was kidding and kind of looked back and smiled. He goes, "You're in my seat. There was nobody else in the church. It wasn't like it was the only seat. And I'm here to tell you, I've pastored churches like that. And it's okay. If your name's on the pew and you've done it, it still ain't yours."
Amen.
This all belongs to God. Somebody say amen. It belongs to God. It's not yours. More churches have been destroyed by unthankful people running a church with no idea in the world about God or how He operates. And a church becomes a political power struggle instead of a blessing to the community. God help it never to happen to you.
Amen.
God would help us. And I say that because don't get the big head. It can happen anyway.
That's right.
Keep being unthankful for what God's done and the blessings He's had and His hand on the work here and the hand on your life, and see if God can't withdraw His blessing. He can and He will. I think that's what's happened to America. We've slaughtered babies at the rate of some 6,000 a day, starting in 1972, 73, back in that time frame. And I remember I was a senior in high school getting ready to go in the Army when the Supreme Court said it was okay to slaughter babies in the womb. Now, if you shot a mama and killed the baby, you could be charged with two murders. Figure that hypocrisy out. Here's the only difference. It depends as to whether or not the mom wants the child or not. And let me tell you that if you're sitting here and you have been born after 1973, you ought to thank God you're alive, because your mama could have snuffed you out and the law would have been on her side. God help us to be thankful for the blessings we do have. But being thankful is not always easy. How many of you have ever been in a valley in your life?
Amen.
We all have. Isn't it funny how people want to live on the mountaintop? Why, sure. Sun's always bright. Everything's good. But did you know it takes two valleys to make a mountaintop? But nobody wants to go through the valleys. You don't build the best crops in the world on top of Clingman's Dome. But down in Cage Cove in the valley, you can grow some good stuff. Because life is best many times in the valley. I will guarantee you there are people sitting right here who, when they were going through the worst time of their lives, look back now and can honestly say, it was the best time of my life and the most fruitful time in my life for the Lord was when I was going through trouble.
Amen.
But we sometimes miss it, don't we? Thank God we've got a day set aside to be thankful. In spite of everything, in spite of the shape our nation is in and the division that's among us, I'm here to tell you the nation's always been divided. The division really is here. It's not on color. It's not on political party. I'm going to tell you where the division are. The saved folks and the lost folks. People that know Jesus and people that don't know Jesus. I don't care what denomination or church tag you hang around your neck. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? And by the way, I told you before, when the Titanic went down, they were keeping track of all the survivors. And they had two sides of the chalkboard in New York. And it said, those known to live and those known to have been lost. And it all divides down to that in this day we're sitting in, right here in this place. Are you saved or lost? You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're not going both. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory. There's no uh-oh. There's either you're going to heaven or you're going to hell.
Amen. Amen.
Where are you going? If you don't know, I can tell you where you're going. The Bible said these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life and that this life is in His Son. Listen, if I moved into your house, you'd know it. I'd be the big guy in your chair with the remote asking you to get me some popcorn. Would you notice? Yeah, and then there's people, when you ask them, do they have the Lord in their heart? They say, well, I don't know. I hope so. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ moved into my heart, He threw out the previous tenet.
That's right.
He came in and magnified Himself in my heart, and He changed my heart and life. Am I perfect? No, but I'm on the right road, and I'm following the right one, and I know where the road ends, and I know where I'm going, because Jesus died for me.
Amen.
Where are you going? You say, well, I'm going to heaven. Then my goodness, you certainly have something to be thankful for.
Amen.
Because this whole world is going to come to an end. You can sort your glass and your plastics and all in your cute little bins. I'm not up for throwing trash out in the middle of the road, but I'm telling you what, your puny efforts will not save the planet because God said it's all going to be burned up, that's along right, with your little bins. I've been fishing with folks, but man, they'll just chuck stuff out in the water. That bugs me. Because God put us here to take care of this place, not trash it. I get it. But He didn't put us here to worship it either. Amen. And that's where we are today. And as I go down through and I think about being thankful and how sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we are put in circumstances that make being thankful difficult. But listen, God is watching to see what we will do. He's not testing us in the sense, well, let me see if I can't trip him up. That's not what's going on. But sometimes God wants to see how you'll react. Because believe it or not, there are people watching your life and mine to see how we react.
That's right.
My former brother-in-law, who's gone to be with the Lord, great preacher, great man of God. His 18-year-old daughter was getting ready to graduate high school. It was in, I think, January of her senior year. And she began throwing up. And it wasn't just a stomach virus. And they took her in and did a CAT scan. She had a tumor the size of a grapefruit between the halves of the lobes of her brain. They operated. It left her basically blind in one eye. She couldn't speak real good. But she got up and testified. And she said, since my surgery, I can't talk real good. And sometimes I forget. She said, but I've never forgot when I was 8 years old and I asked Jesus in my heart. Amen. She died. Pastor Bevan, his daughter, had died. It was devastating to me and later and to the rest of the family and others. And he said this himself. He got up in the pulpit and he said, now folks, he said, I'm going to keep preaching, but I need you to know I'm struggling right now. Why did God take my little girl and not some crackhead down the road? He said when he preached that, the second he preached it, it flashed in his mind, because your daughter was ready and that one isn't. Years passed, a young minister came up to him. I was standing not 5 feet away from a brother-in-law, and this young preacher boy came up who had surrendered to preach, and he told Brother Bevan, he said, preacher, you don't know me. He said, but you've impacted my life. And he said, how'd I do that? He said, well, I was in the audience when you preached that day and talked about your daughter dying. He said, you didn't know it, but I was watching your life to see how you'd react. And when you stood true for the truth, in spite of what had happened in your life, God spoke to my heart. And I asked Him to take me and use me.
Amen.
People are watching us. And it makes a difference whether we are thankful or not.
Amen.
And how we act when adversity comes. I know folks that when things go south, their whole spirit goes south. Their whole attitude goes south. Their mouth goes south. Everything goes south about them. Bless God, that's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even when it's dark and you can't see the light and you don't know what's going to happen and the report was bad and it looks worse than you thought and you lost your job. What are you going to do? Bless God, praise Him anyway.
Amen.
For He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is still on His throne. And one day this will all be a distant memory. What we focused on so hard will be just a dim, dim past tense thing in our lives. And we'll look at the glories of heaven and realize how good God has been.
Amen.
If anybody in this room has a reason to be unthankful, I'd like to know who it is. Because we all have a reason to be thankful.
Amen.
We go through valleys, and it gets difficult. But the Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. All things. All things, preacher? Cancer? All things. Heart trouble? All things. All things. I was minding my own business. Sleeping. It's been been over 4 years ago now, closer to five, I guess, sleeping, minding my own business. All of a sudden, I woke up, my heart was beating like this. Now, if you want something to get your attention, let something happen with your ticker. You can't fix it. You can't reach in there and turn a knob and adjust it. I went to the hospital. Got there and it slowed down, sent me back home. Decided next time that happened, if it did happen, I was going to Murfreesboro. Now, I'm not talking bad about any local doctor or anything like that, but I'm just saying. I better leave that alone. But I sure enough, a few months later, I loaded up, so they kind of said something's wrong with my heart. And she took me down there to Murfreesboro. And I remember praying. You want to become a prayer warrior? Be careful what you pray for, too. God, I want to be a better prayer warrior. We get to Murfreesboro, and honestly, we did not have to wait real long. And this little teeny short lady, she looked to be about 14 years old, but she wasn't. It was just, I'm that old. And she came in. She was very nice, very thorough. And they started running tests on me. And I heard these ads on the radio of Gethsemane Heart Clinic, which was a Christian-owned and run heart clinic with a Christian cardiologist in charge of it. And it was funny, before this had happened, I had said, man, I had said, if I ever have anything wrong with my heart, that's who I want to go to. Well, so they did all these tests, and then the doctor came in, and he sat down on the foot of my bed. He looked at a black fella about this tall, Dr. Paul Jackson. Sits down on the edge of my bed, and he pats my leg. He said, okay, big fella. He said, let me tell you what's going on. And then my heart started doing wobblies, not because anything's wrong, but the heart doctor was there. He's going to tell me what's going on. I'm thinking transplant. You know, doesn't your mind go there? You know, it's not. Anyway, he must have read it. He's probably seen a thousand. He patted me. He goes, you're going to be all right. And my heart went, if I listened to God, it had already been. And that didn't mean stop, my boy. And if it was, it'd be convenient. Cardiologist right there. So he pats my leg. He said, your house, he said, your heart is like a house. He said, the walls are the muscles. He said, yours are great. True. What is that? Great. You jealous? He said, they're great. He said, the blood vessels, that's like the plumbing. He said, yours are great. No blockages. Said, thank you, Lord. He said, but you also got an electrical panel. He said, that's where your problem is. He said, for some reason, the signal's getting kind of messed up. And I said, my heart started going again. I'm like, messed up? The cardiologist tells you your heart's messed up. Well, then he said, but it's not bad. He said, we could probably control it with medication. He said, we get it leveled out, you're going to be all right. And I'm like, well, thank you, God. I said, Doc, what is your name? And this is when I got his name. And he handed me his card and said, Gethsemane Heart. And I looked at it, said, founder, Dr. Paul Jackson. He was sitting on the foot of my bed. And he said, would you mind if I prayed with you? God knew in advance what I would need. And whatever you're going through, know this. No angel run up to God and go, oh God, so-and-so, something happened to him. I know you don't know about it. It just happened. And God would go, what do you mean I don't know about it? Nothing can happen to you or me except to go by God's throne for permission to start with.
That's right.
So the next time you're tripping over your lip and whining, realize this, God is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah. And He has prepared in advance and has victory for you in advance that He paid for on Calvary. And I know it's not popular among some churches, but I still tell you, with His stripes we are healed.
Amen.
And it might take medicine. It might take surgery to extend your life. But never forget this. We're not home yet.
That's right.
All we can do is extend this. And I'm not trying to depress you. But the death rate among humans right now is about 100%. You're going to die. But what you can deal with is where you go when you die.
Amen.
Are you ready? Today could be your day. Could be mine. But I will tell you this, and it's no braggadocious, it's just a fact, that God made preparation for me. When He sent His Son to die on the cross, I was on His mind. Amen. And when He died for me too.
Right.
And He died for you. And if this is my day, I know where I'm going. Not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm in church, not because I've been baptized, not because I belong to certain denominations in my life. None of that. The reason I am is because I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And He's promised me that when death comes, it's not going to be some super shock and all this explosion. It says that death will be swallowed up in victory.
That's right.
As though the arms of the Savior just comes around you and says, it's time to go to our house. I go to prepare a place for you, He said. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
John, I've only seen Him with not these eyes, but the eyes of faith in Him.
That's right.
But one day, as Job said, though the skin worms destroy my body, with my eyes I will see my
Redeemer.
Amen. Do you have anything to be thankful for? If you're willing to, why don't you stand up and tell us what you are thankful for right now? Anybody? John, are you thankful for anything?
Brother, my God's so good to me. He's given me the best family in the world. And He saved my soul, and I got everything to thank Him for. He's so good to me, and I thank Him so much. Oh, glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else?
I'm thankful for salvation and all of my family.
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
Hey. Thank you for our church.
Amen. Anyone else you thankful?
I'm thankful for everything He's done for me. My family, church family, and all.
Amen. Anyone else? Man?
Sorry. I'll go first because I'll be shorter than her.
She's shorter than
me. Amen.
I am so thankful for a husband. That takes his family to church. Raising kids is hard enough. Couldn't do it without him.
Amen.
Hey.
Faye?
Well, I'm thankful. Go ahead, Miss Ella. I'm thankful that God's fair kind of life. So with all my sickness. Just made me come back to church here with my church family. And I love him very hard.
Anyone else?
Quick little story. My girls. In fact, I always give them what we call goodie bags. Or goodie baskets when they got to be mothers themselves. And when I pack these boxes, that feeling comes back to my heart of when I made my girls goodie bags, goodie baskets, even when they were grown. Lorianne's last Christmas, she and Lisa gets their baskets, and they always go high because they know they've got something better than anybody else, so you don't get to get pictures. But I'm thankful for my memories, and I am thankful to my God that He pulled me out of the depths of dirt. And I'm thankful that Charles is in heaven, and I know He's
Amen.
There. And so is my Lord. And I'm just thankful that He had that extra days that Jesus came into His heart and said, for everybody here, I love you and I thank you for what you've been to me. Sometimes just put that way.
We love you too.
Praise God. I just praise
you. Hey. Bethany?
I'm I'm thankful this morning for this church, and I'm thankful. I'm loud enough. I don't need to stand. I'm thankful for you.
I thought you were standing.
Yeah. But so often, we don't realize that that little voice in us, and I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit, and I shared it with Brother Chip, and I want to share with you, the rest of you. We were at a service this morning, and Ellis said, you know, it was like that preacher was just talking. He said, I didn't get that feeling I get when Brother Chip preaches.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that my son feels the Holy Spirit and knows his voice.
Amen.
God be the glory.
I'm thankful for Bethany and for this church and all that you allow us to do through this church.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Justin?
I want to second Ellis. In my adult life, I've only known two pastors. You're one of them where I have felt God's presence in your message.
I thank you, but I want you to know that without him, it's a waste of time.
Right.
We're just going through exercise. When I say I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher, it comes from the depths of my soul, because I can't speak to your heart, but God can.
Hey.
Thank you. That was very kind. I want to share with you, in closing, something interesting. You know, when Thanksgiving began, it actually, if I remember correctly, was started. Various presidents down through our history had days of Thanksgiving, but it was Abraham Lincoln that actually codified it, made it a holiday. But it goes back further. In 1620, 102 pilgrims spent 66 days in the bottom of a ship in a space the size of a volleyball court to come to this country. They were going there for religious freedom because they refused to knuckle under and become a part of a denomination that they felt had not just left them, but had left the Lord. And so they were called separatists because they came out separate from them and worshipped and sang many of the same songs as the Church of England, but they believed that the Church of England had left them. They had been through some terrible, terrible times. When they landed in America, everything was not roses. As a matter of fact, it got very rough. They landed in November. Six were dead by December. Eight in January, they were falling like casualties on a battlefield. And listen to what one writer said. And in a sense, that's what they were, locked in a life and death struggle with Satan himself, for this was the first time that the light of Christ had landed in force on this continent. And if he, Satan, did not throw them back into the sea at the beginning, there would be reinforcements coming. January 14th, the roof burned off their common house. More adversity and more problems came, but the more problems that came, the more they thanked God and the more they prayed. By February 2nd, they were losing two a day, sometimes three. By February 21st, four more had died and buried them in the night in unknown and unmarked graves to keep from causing discouragement to the rest. And the total in that few month period, 17 had died. By spring, 47 had died. 13 out of 18 wives died. Only three families were unbroken by death. Hearts remained soft toward God. William Brewster, a lay speaker, led them in worship, and they understood that the source of their blessing was God, that the season of their blessing was now, even in the middle of sorrow, and the size of their blessing was great. And they took as their promise a verse of Scripture that said, there shall be showers of blessing. Those folks that started back then were the start of Christianity moving into this nation. And yes, the devil wanted to throw them back in the sea, but I'm here to tell you, the devil wants to throw you back too. He wants to discourage you. He wants to defeat you. But folks, I got good news. I read the end of the book and we win.
Amen.
Would you stand with me? Before we pray, I want to dismiss those ladies that are having a part and getting things set up down there for our meal. We want you to stay. We invite you to stay. And we really would love for you to stay. You say, well, I didn't bring anything. If you brought an appetite, you'll do well. You come on. Yeah?
Offering.
Oh, yeah. National Rescue Mission offering. Let me get some fellas up here. We'll take up our National Rescue Mission offering. Thank you for the signal. See, Norma's the right one to do that because she's the most subtle person we have. Come on, you can. You can do it. And just give it to your dad in the back. Come on up. All right. You're going to stand there with them? Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing on this offering that we give for the National Rescue Mission, especially this time of year when there are men and women in record numbers that need you, Lord, and are hungry and need a touch from you. And I'm asking you to bless this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And Justin. Yeah. Now, before we dismiss, what I want you to do, I need probably 6 volunteers to help me. I'm going to drive my car around back here, and we're going to load these shoe boxes out this door in an assembly line. I'm one person, so don't throw them at me, okay? All right, so I need at least 3 of the 6 to be adults. 3 can be kids. It's fine with me. Who will be my adults to help me with this? Somebody raise their hand. Justice, okay? Justice, another adult. Okay, go ahead. Yep. All right. Thank you, Cole. Yep. All right, so those 3 adults and then whatever kids want to help, after we dismiss in prayer, you come here, move that stuff, open the door, and get ready, okay? But don't throw them at me, okay? I got to set them in place and they all won't fit. And let me commend you again. Over 100 boxes for this church is amazing. Amazing. All right? So let's dismiss in prayer. I'm going to ask my brother-in-law, Gary, if he will, to pray for us. Amen. You're dismissed. It might be a few minutes to get everything ready down there, but you're welcome to go.